Thank you very much, Wes. Wonderful, wonderful music. The Bible Church movement actually started in the early part of the 20th century. Lewis Berry Chafer, founded Dallas Theological Seminary, with C.I. Schofield's encouragement to do it in Dallas. Chafer was going to do it up in Pennsylvania area, and C.I. Schofield talked him into doing it here, right down the street in the old Schofield Church. And the idea was that there wasn't any place that was training men in Greek and Hebrew and what we call sound theology on salvation, spirituality by faith, and these things. And it's a wonderful story how it all came about. And the idea was that they were men from all denominations could come in and be trained, and then they'd go back to their various denominations. Well, they came in and got trained and went back, and the denominations didn't want it. They didn't want that Bible teaching like that. And they didn't want that theology. So you started having men trained, a few men. And I think the first class was 1920-something. And they'd go back, and they were not wanted. So, well, what are we going to do? We got the gift from God. We got the training. We're equipped. We're ready. Prepared. Nobody wants us. So a couple of them got together and just said, well, we'll just start a Bible church. And so it started evolving. But as we know, there's nothing that remains pure. It wasn't long before false teaching got involved, changing the momentum from exegetical study just to talking about the Bible. Pretty soon you had charismatic Bible churches. And now you got women preaching in Bible churches. Over here in Irving Bible Church, which was a bulwark at one time in sound Bible church movement. And it's just... there's nothing, you can't pass it on. Each individual generation has to make up their mind. It's not like 2 and 2 is 4, son, and that's nothing you can do with that. If you're going to stay with a 10-number base system, 2 and 2 is 4, and 3 and 3 is 6, and on. And the world is round, and gravity, and these things you can pass down, and nothing anybody can do with them. But not in the spiritual realm. You don't get to pass it down. It's... each individual generation has to make up their mind, what is the gospel, what is truth. And it's just really, really a shame. Little boy was attending his first wedding. After the service, his cousin asked him, they were outside talking about that wedding, seeing what's going on. He said, how many women can one man marry? 16, the boy responded. His cousin was amazed that he could answer so quickly. How do you know that? Easy, said the boy. All you have to do is add it all up. 4 better, 4 worse, 4 richer, 4 poor.
Thank you.
So, And he was listening. He was listening. Okay, let's talk about prayer. We want to be in prayer for Eve. She was here last night, and it wore her out, I guess. But she was here, looked good. Said she's gets tired, so we need to continue to pray for healing for Eve. Need to continue to pray for Tish. She continues to fight through her cancer. Need to continue to pray for Nancy Becker and Vic Edwards and Cindy. Let's see, Nathan, Alicia, and anybody else we need to be in prayer for. Okay, got that friend of yours at the gym.
Yes, right. Peppy.
Peppy.
And also, remember Pat, the lady.
I'm sorry?
Pat, the lady that has cancer.
Yes. Okay. And continue to be in prayer for Pat then.
Pat,
all right. Okay. Leslie called me up. She said, what you doing Thursday? I always hate that. Because you know what's coming. I'm going to be on a ship in the Caribbean. I'm going to be in surgery. I'm going to be holding my socks. I'm going to be doing something, I know. And there's a group of ladies that she works with, and they get together once a month. And their speaker can't speak, so I don't know if I'd come. So I said, okay, what do you want me to speak on? So I don't know. But these women are all stressed out. The main lady, I wish I had it. But anyway, the main lady wrote and said, you know, overflow them in love and all this stuff. And I said, well, that'll get me in trouble. And so talking to Leslie today, and I said, well, what do you want me to do? I can do some stuff on stress, anxiety, depression, or some of the implements of spiritual love and how it's on inside, outside. Leslie goes, well, can't you combine both of those? That'd be great. I said, oh, it'll take 160 hours and put it in 45 minutes to an hour. Really good, Leslie. You're going to stress me out. Figure that out.
And the ladies.
Huh? And the ladies, yeah. I said, by tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it starts at 10:30, I'll still be talking. No, they will have already gone home. Oh, so you might say a prayer. Might be somebody ready for the gospel tomorrow.
We'll pray for you, Herman.
Huh?
We'll pray for you, too.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be at 10:30, so get up, get going. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have a message that's so pure and so true. Unfortunately, so few want it. We have the truth of spiritual counseling, spiritual strength. People don't want it. They want to work for it, earn it, serve it, run from it, fight it. And it's so simple. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to this essentially important passage in Jesus Christ sending another helper. Pray your Spirit will give me the simple words of truth as we go through this brief series, the sending of your Spirit. And we can see how essential this is to our lives. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. John 14:16, and I for my part, I myself, when I get to heaven, I will ask the Father, and He, God the Father, will give you another helper. Okay, so last week we noted Allos A-L-L-O-S. This is another of the same kind. In other words, another helper who is deity. Another deity. And then we had the word parakletos. And therein lies a lot of the problem. Parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-long-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. Parakletos is translated helper in the New American Standard. Comforter in the King James. Counselor in the NIV. So we got helper, comforter, counselor for parakletos. And we spent a few moments introducing what we're going to be looking at and dealing with the sending of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Jesus Christ will be said to send him. Sometimes God the Father will be said to send him. So we saw how the word to send is technical, deals with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then we went to Genesis chapter 2:18. Now what we're going to be looking at is the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and the believer. And to get a feel of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "Not good man to be alone. I will make Asa out of something rather than bara. I will make a helper, Ezer," which is where we get Ezra, "a helper suitable." Neged. Preposition indicating a corresponding to. A helpmate corresponding to. Now, what we did, and what we're going to do by way of introduction tonight, we're going to learn a little bit about marriage. And this is going to take us into an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because we have a lot of questions with the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn a lot of things about the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit and believer. A lot of people have trouble trusting in the Holy Spirit. Well, no, that takes away from Jesus Christ. We ought to just trust in Jesus Christ, if it's faith in him. Okay? But Jesus Christ came to do what? Bring us to the Father. And we don't trust in the Father, we trust in Jesus Christ. Christ came to bring us to the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit comes to bring us to Jesus Christ, we trust the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see some things, relationships and all of this. And the Holy Spirit is subordinate to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ subordinate to God the Father. So we're going to learn. And it's no accident that the Hebrew words are compatible with the Greek words. Helper, suitable, which is another helper. Suitable, another. So another corresponding. So we have the corresponding of the male and the female. And we started noting a few things, and we saw that the biggest problem in marriage ending in divorce, the number one problem or the one number one cause of divorce, is marrying the wrong person. And before people ever think about getting married, you got to think about yourself. Got to settle some fundamental issues about yourself so you'll know whether this person's going to be a helpmate in your life or not. A lot of people marry somebody, it's just a battle. Old Jim Reeves had a song, "Two Worlds Collide." We liked each other, we got married, and it collided. So it just, you marry someone and they're not going to be a helpmate. Their goals, objectives are not yours. And So this is where we are. So before you start thinking about whom you will marry, what kind of person you're looking for in marriage, you got to make some decisions about yourself first. Got to make some decisions about yourself. And we do this in choosing friends often, without much deep thought. We filter out people. I don't want that person as a friend. Yeah, this person's fine. I like them. I like being around them. No, I don't like this and this about them, but they're okay. I enjoy this aspect of the person. But boy, when it comes to romantic love, and once emotion gets involved, it's generally too late. It's generally too late. So let's take up a few things here, kind of have a marriage counseling, and working our way to understanding the relationship of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in a believer. Yes. Well, I think all these people are already married. So I don't want to go back and have them rethinking, second guessing themselves. I got to take them from where they are, not from where they might ought to be. That'll get me into trouble. So I knew the speaker told me I married the wrong person. I'm leaving you. Ring, ring. Oh, hello, Chinese laundry. No, I didn't say that. Okay, let's note a few things. One, to make a sound decision in whom you will marry. Now, I'm going to build all this up to the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit and you. I'm bouncing off of that this has always been a pattern of God. Corresponding helpmate. Point one, to make a sound decision to whom you will marry, you got to know yourself. Know your goals and your objectives. Jesus Christ has a goal and objective for us as believers. He saved us for a purpose. He's going to send us a helper to meet that purpose. See? The Holy Spirit is going to be sent not to satisfy us. That's why He must increase and I decrease. Not to satisfy what I want, but to fulfill God's plan for each member of the body of Christ. So to make a sound decision in whom you will marry, know yourself, know some objectives and goals that you have. Point two, then pay attention to those you get romantically attracted. Where does God fit in? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, church. Where do these fit into your life? Where do they fit into this person's life? Don't expect them to change. Three. Historically, many females have had one primary objective, historically, and that is security. Security guides their choice. Instead of trusting God, they trust a man. And God help a woman that does that. Instead of trusting God, they trusted the institution of marriage. And this strong desire of security actually directs them in decision making. Often throughout history. And so, I think it's a fair question a woman ought to ask. Does this guy believe in working? I think that's a okay question. Not necessarily the security element, but is this guy a bum or does he believe in working? But these are questions. Point four. Or you can be more precise with a list in the Bible. Just note some of the dominant characteristics mentioned in a list in Romans 1 that we just completed studying. Is this person you're looking at, man or woman? See, men are gossipers too. We generally like to kid at women. Men are gossipers and slanderers. Is this person a gossip or slander? Remember, people, if they gossip about others, they will gossip about you. If, boy, every time they get with you, they're gossiping and slandering, running down somebody else, you can chalk it up. When you're not there, you're going to be the subject. So, is this person characteristically a gossip, a slanderer? Are they abnormally arrogant? Everybody's arrogant, so it's abnormally arrogant. Boastful. Hateful. Wicked. Malice. Inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents. I think girls should pay close attention, especially young girls, how he treats his mother. How he treats his parents. How she deals with her father. And you just got to pay attention to these things. Other biblical lists. Controlling. Bitter. Obsessed with jealousy. Troublemakers. So, choosing a mate, you got to pay attention. First thing you got to know is who you are, what your basic fundamental desire and goal and standard is in life, before you choose someone to be a helpmate. Helpmate. Not a sex mate. Help. Corresponding. To accomplish. Point five. Now, that word help, in a few minutes, that's going to become a vital word on how we translate parakletos. But I'll save that for that point. Point five. When in a marriage, there is this agreed upon goal or plan, objective, what you basically want out of life, they have a solid foundation. When trouble does arise in the marriage, and trouble will arise in the spiritual warfare. In the spiritual warfare, there will be problems between two people in marriage. This should not surprise us. Some people think that, well, if two people are Christians and believers, there should be no problems. Hey, let me tell you something. You have a problem when you live by yourself. And you battle with yourself. Now you bring in another person into it. And the Romans chapter 7, Paul just battles with himself. I don't want to do that, do that, blah, blah, blah. And you battle with yourself. And make yourself upset. Why did I do that? Why did I leave that there? Well, if you have somebody living there, why'd you leave that there? They'll beat you to it. They'll beat you to saying it. And so you're going to have problems. But the truth of the matter is that we have problems, conflicts within ourselves, just one person. So it should not surprise us that we have conflicts with married couples. So you got a foundation upon which you can address these problems in life. Conflict, trouble does occur between married couples. The more you're like-minded in goals, the more you have a corresponding helpmate set on goals, the more easily and more quickly you will solve the problem and get back to your mutual objectives. You can get back and move on. See, this solid foundation. So Jesus Christ has something for us to do. He's leaving. So he's going to send someone that is going to carry through what he has begun. Okay. Point six. Now, marriage in this present presents a problem in that we tend to get married at a young age. Perhaps too young, some societies not. Before either has any understanding of their own lives. I've seen many problems arise when into the marriage one of the two people make a complete turn or change spiritually. What they want out of life. And this can prevent severe problems. Detrimental. Probably often marriage ending problem. Nothing you can do foreseeing that. Nothing you can do foreseeing that. But this happens. One of the persons becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. The other doesn't. One decides to leave a spiritual momentum life. The other doesn't. These are severe problems that occur when that helpmate, the objective and the goal has changed fundamentally. And it's very difficult because liberty, a man has to recognize the life and liberty of a woman. And liberty involves her decision making politically. He can't tell her how to vote. First of all, a man doesn't control a woman's life. He can't murder her. We do not have authority over a woman's life. Does not have authority over liberty. Thomas Jefferson put these in our Constitution, but they're historically true. Person has a right to make a decision politically and spiritually, what they want to do. And if this changes in a marriage, it's unbelievable difficulty. Point seven. So in marriage, wisdom. Wait until you've made up your mind about Jesus Christ, where he fits into your plans, your goals, your life. Some people just shouldn't marry until they've made these decisions. And they just, I don't care, they could be in their 30s and still be rebels and mavericks and angry or searching, and they don't want anything. This person should not marry. And what happens in our society, have a lot of these kind of people, oh, but I want to have a baby. I don't want to get down to life. I don't want to get down to marriage. I don't want to get down to this type of thing and work things out with a man and all that. But I want to have a baby. Like, this adds something to something. Okay, secondly. Now, first, you got to have your own goals, objectives, priorities set out. Secondly, the second thing you want to make up your mind about is the role of the husband and the role of the wife. When God said a helpmate corresponding, another helper. So you got to make up your mind, what is the role of the husband? What is the role of the wife? So your ideal of the role of the husband, the role of the wife. This is vital in a marriage relationship. I haven't, over the years, conducted too many premarital counseling sessions. But one question I ask when I do, ask the man what he expects of a wife. What she expects of a husband. And I don't give him time to go home and think about it, talk about it. I have my piece of paper. Just write it down right now. Put your thoughts. I want to know, just off the cuff. And they're going to send it down there. Write it down right now! Right now, and it's just get your thought. What do you expect from a wife? What do you expect from a husband? How they vision, understand their role in the marriage. What's the husband's role? What's the wife's role? Can I get your thoughts clear on these things? Yeah, it's amazing. People ask lots of questions in buying a car. A lot more questions than they do about someone they're getting ready to marry. How fast does it go? What kind of gas? What about this? Does it have warm seats? Does it do this? Does it do that? On and on and on and on. They just get married. Okay, so before you marry, one, have some idea of your goals and objectives in life. Two, what's the role of the husband? What's the role of the wife? And three, what's the role of God and the plan of God in your life? Are you willing to be guided by God throughout your life? Things will happen in all of our lives. Career changes will occur. Maybe physical changes will occur. Occupation, financial, but fundamental goals in life, what we're talking about here, your view of marriage, your view of the husband and of the wife. Now, all this sets up a guide between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the believer. In Genesis 2, describing a man and a woman, helpmate corresponding to. In Genesis 14, describing the Holy Spirit, another helper. Okay, so first of all, we have the relationship, and we spent plenty of time on this, the relationship between Jesus Christ and God the Father. Pardon my abbreviations. Jesus Christ and God the Father, and we have spent quite a length of time throughout the study of John in Jesus Christ and God the Father, the humanity of Christ, the deity of God the Father, the deity of Jesus Christ, the deity of God the Father, how God the Father sent Him, His relationship with Christ, His relationship with the one being sent, God the Father's relationship with the one being sent. We have hit this from nearly every position we can, studying the relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father. How He doesn't speak anything that is not of the Father. He doesn't do anything that is not of the Father. All judgment has been given to Him by the Father. So all these things we've studied. Relationship of Jesus Christ and the Father. Actions, decisions, even the words of Jesus Christ were determined by His relationship with the Father. Jesus Christ submitted. There's that word, ladies. Submitted His own will to that of God the Father. The wife must be willing to submit to the will of the husband. I'm sorry. I know it's not popular today, but neither is marriage popular today. Jesus Christ submitted His own will to that of the Father. God the Father loved the world deep in sin, death, His own enemies. God the Father motivated by His love to reconcile the world to Himself. The world needed a helper, needed a redeemer, needed a deliverer. Jesus Christ, in response to the love of the Father, takes on the form of mankind and becomes and serves mankind as the helper, Jesus Christ, another helper. So Jesus Christ is viewing Himself. Jesus Christ views Himself as a helper. Now just stay with me on this word. We'll come to it in a minute. As a helper. He views Himself as a helper. So Jesus Christ is a helper in salvation one, or eternal life, salvation, being reconciled with God the Father. Jesus Christ views Himself as a helper here. We believe in Jesus Christ in order to come to the Father. So here we are in sin. Jesus Christ comes as a helper. Here's God the Father. We want to get to the Father. We go through Jesus Christ, came to take us and bring us to God the Father. This is what He sees Himself as. Some people have a problem walking by faith in the Holy Spirit rather than in Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit now is sent to bring us to Jesus Christ. So here we are now. And actually, I was going to say here we are as believers. And we have the Holy Spirit taking us to Jesus Christ, takes us to God the Father. But actually, the Holy Spirit's also working with the unbeliever, isn't He? Convicting. So even in bringing the unbeliever to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is sent now. But the Holy Spirit is sent to bring us to Jesus Christ, so we walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Or by faith in the Holy Spirit, so that we can come to Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ to come to the Father. What's the problem? We believed in Jesus Christ to come to the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ calls the Holy Spirit another helper. Jesus Christ's own words. Now, why does man need help from God? Why does man need two helpers from God? And very important, how do we receive help from God? Okay, first, the first thing I want to do as we look at Parakletos, got another Parakletos, P-A-R-A-L-E-T-O-S, Parakletos. kletos. I want to look at the word helper. We have looked at another. It's another of the same kind. That's simple. Deity. Now let's look at helper. Parakletos. To translate this word, Greek word, by the English word helper, can be misleading. Can be misleading in this context. So let's spend a few valuable moments here under the word helper, because that's a good translation, but we want to deal with it. Point one. The English word helper. The English word helper implies that the two work together to accomplish a task. You're pushing a car. Someone comes along to help you push the car. You're both pushing the car. Point two. The work of the first and second helper in John 14 does not mean that we can do anything to help. This is not a partnership. Being saved eternally is not a partnership where Jesus Christ does his part, but you've got to help. There is nothing that we can do. Okay, we got that down? The English word implies, though I'm going to show you it is not restricted to, but often we use the word meaning help, but you do your part and the other person does their part. Okay, point two, in John 14, the understanding helper does not imply that we do, that we're this a partnership. Point three, let's take a look at the English. We have the word help, helper. We have the word assist. We have the word assist. We have the word aid. Succor, S-U-C-C-O-R. Relieve. All of these are words meaning to help. All synonyms. Each of these words used that way. To assist signifies to place oneself by another so as to give our strength. We assist a person in some endeavor. To aid. To render profit to some objective. We will aid them in a good cause. Succor is a very interesting word. It's more of a disaster type of situation. To come to help anyone in a very variety of meanings. To relieve means to alleviate. To relieve him in time of distress. Okay, point four. In all these words is the basic idea of communicating or giving to the advantage of another person. Is the ideal of communicating or giving to the advantage of another person. Help is generic, is the generic ideal in all these words. In other words, the word help may be just that, helping the person do or accomplish something. Or the English word may be taking complete control, doing everything. A person is in an automobile wreck and they are laid out injured on the road. You come and help them. The Good Samaritan helped the man beaten. The man beaten did nothing. The Good Samaritan came by, picked him up, doctored him, oiled him, took him to the inn, turned him over to the innkeeper. Help. Help. Obviously, in this case, the one receiving aid, the one receiving help, is not contributing anything, but help is given. So the principle under point four, understanding the English word helper in this sense as where it is complete aid given, is the only way we can comfortably translate parakletos, another helper. So, helper's fine, as long as we understand that it is giving total help, total and complete help. Point five. Something else about the English word, it's inherent in the Greek, and these other synonyms, is the idea that help is designed to do one of two things. This is important. Help is designed to do one or two things or both. So help is designed to do one of two things or both. A, to remove some evil or pain. To remove some evil or pain, or danger, something like that. Or remove from some pain, or remove from some pain, some evil, some danger. B. Secondly, to move into a good position. To move into a good position, a safe position. So it carries two ideas. It carries the idea to help a person out of some danger into some place of safety. Not just help them out of danger and leave them, but help them out from one danger into a place of safety. I help you by assisting you in pushing your car, or I help you by removing a thorn in your hand that you cannot remove. That's the ideal help. Let me help you. I will remove the thorn. Help is a decent and correct word. Both concepts are at issue in the work of Jesus Christ as our parakletos, and of the Holy Spirit as our parakletos. Jesus Christ helps, in quotes, completely, helps us out of pending doom, helps us out of a hopeless status of unrighteousness. Jesus Christ removes us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit moves us from the power of sin, see? So here we have Jesus Christ as our parakletos. He moves us from the penalty of sin. The Holy Spirit moves us from the power of sin. In that sense, Jesus Christ is our parakletos, our helper, in salvation one. The Holy Spirit is our, as another, just like Him, in salvation two, in our spiritual life. Jesus Christ saves or delivers us from condemnation to eternal safety. The Holy Spirit moves us from sinful state to the spiritual life. It's another helper, just like Jesus Christ. So both concepts are seen in the parakletos of Jesus Christ and the parakletos of the Holy Spirit. Different, but similar. Different, but similar. They're both parakletos. They're both completely and totally helping us as unbelievers out of the penalty of sin, as believers out of the power of sin, as unbelievers out from and into eternal security, as believers out from and into the spiritual light, spiritual sanctification. They both have both works of a helper. So both concepts fit Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Both help deliver man from one horrible condition into a good one. Okay, principle. There was nothing that man could do to secure either of these conditions. There's nothing that man could do to remove himself out from unrighteousness. There was nothing that man could do to remove himself from being unclean, impure. Flat needed help. We couldn't do anything. Like a baby. Parents help. We were in need. Someone else has to move us. Nor is there anything we could do to move into righteousness. Nothing we could do to move out from unrighteousness, impurity, unclean. Nothing we could do to move into righteousness, into clean, into purity, into security. Nothing we could do. Nothing we could do to reconcile ourselves with God. He had to do it all. Nor could man, as a believer, move himself into a state of spirituality, into the light, out of sin. Needed someone to do it all. Therefore, Jesus Christ, who has already redeemed us, sends us now another helper. So God the Father sent mankind a helper. That is someone who would do it all. Provide the means out of from condemnation into security. He sent His Son as our parakletos. Jesus Christ is our parakletos, helper, deliverer. We've studied so many things we need to know Jesus Christ as. We know Him last night as the one who will evaluate our lives. We know Him as our Savior, our friend, our shepherd. Know Him as our parakletos, helper. Having completed His work, His deliverance, His salvation, He departs from earth. And in turn, He says, okay, they're secure, but experientially, they don't have a chance. So I've got to send them another helper. I'm leaving, so I'm going to send another helper. Another parakletos. One who will do it all. And that is the Holy Spirit. Okay, point six. So only if you understand helper in the sense that Jesus Christ does it all, provides everything necessary. There's nothing that man can do. Can this be translated helper? I have no problem with helper. I wish we could just say parakletos. Another parakletos. But people would think you were weird. And so we'll say helper. But we've got to understand it means helper in the sense he does it all. Point seven. Another important issue in the word group to help is the kind of help employed. What I mean by that is, to help or to assist implies personal service, personal assistance. Help you push a car. Help you when you're wounded, injured, or sick. But another ideal in this word group is corporal, mental, judicial, or inner. So we have the material, overt world, and the immaterial, spiritual world. Jesus Christ is our helper judicially, removing the debt of sin by his cross work. The Holy Spirit is our helper personally, personal power over the power of sin. Fruit of the Spirit that he pours into us, guidance, knowledge, wisdom, all the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does. So as you see, parakletos is a very rich word and has so much involved in it. Point eight. We have to do point eight. To complete this picture of parakletos, helper, we have a question. Since man can do nothing to deliver himself out from into, since man could do nothing to do that, out from danger into safety, out from the penalty into being redeemed, and God sent a helper, sent his Son, sent his Spirit. Question. How was man to receive this help? How do we receive this help? The condition of man was that he could do nothing. Now, I'll follow this up next week, but Lewis Berry Chafer, in My Journey in Seeing Spirituality by Faith, made the most unbelievable penetration into this old hard head of mine, and that is you have to be able to see your restoration as a believer as much a salvation as your restoration as an unbeliever before you'll ever understand that it's totally by faith. It's just as much a salvation. If it's just as much a salvation, it's just as much a work of God, just as dependent upon God. And if they fail to understand it as a form of salvation that is totally dependent upon God, then you're going to be messed up on how it's done. But if you understand that we are receive this help, that we are delivered as unbelievers, just like we were as believers, that there's only one way in which man can receive this help from God, and that is by faith. Faith and faith alone. There is nothing non-meritorious faith. A passive verb. Any way you want to look at the word faith. Man could do nothing. And we've got to see man in this state as an unbeliever needing a parakletos to help us out of that state as unbelievers. And as believers, when we're carnal and dead in sin, we need a parakletos. And the only way you can tap into a parakletos is by faith. That's the only way. God has set this system up. Man is incapacitated, spiritually dead, nothing he can do, think, say, to move himself in any of those positions. We need a helper. And we needed a helper that does it all because we can't even render aid. So God came up with non-meritorious faith, passive verb, whereby man can receive help, complete and total help by nothing that man does, by grace through faith. And this would have to be the same in receiving the complete help and deliverance of the Holy Spirit. Salvation 1 sets the pattern of Salvation 2. Things that are said of us in Salvation 1 can be said of us in Salvation 2. And any blessings from God when we're in the light. Even when you're filled with the Spirit, people, we still don't earn anything from God. I know we emphasize Salvation 2 coming out from sin, but I mean, when you're in the light, in the filling of the Spirit, you still can't do anything to earn anything from God. What? What is this? You can't do that. Still got to be Him. Still got to be by faith. So He is our Parakletos. And the only way we can receive the Parakletos help is by faith. Now, what I want to do now is I want to have fun with us in doing a little search on another word, maybe other than helper. Let's just see if we can come up with something that's biblical. Not that helper isn't. But let's just see if we can't come up with something that kind of flows through. And we'll do that next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we try so hard to complicate what's so simple. We try to make it so complex, and it's really very simple. We can't do anything as unbelievers, can't do anything as believers. You sent us your Son, you sent us your Spirit. We trust them. They do their work. You get the glory. We reap the blessing. What kind of deal is that? What an awesome God you are. I pray, Father, we just take these things and kind of smile within and, yeah, it's the way I want to live. I want God to do all the work and I receive all the blessing. Wow. That's just a wonderful way to live. And you get all the glory and we have all the fun. Father, pray you take these things that we've seen and let them settle in our souls, bear fruit inside of us and then in our lives. That Heavenly Father will find ourselves with the psalmist and with the writers of the Scripture, thanking you and praising you daily that you have sent us a Parakletos in our lives. And we just keep on realizing, boy, there's nothing I can do to pull myself out of this. Pull myself out of this mental attitude sin, this overt sin, or sin of the tongue. You've done it. Father, we praise you. In your Son's precious name. Amen.